All right, Alexander. Before we get into this video, I just want to say that, and we're going to talk about the protests in Germany, the protests in London, where you are, the massive undertaking of a lockdown in Melbourne, a city of around 5 million people. It was just a massive lockdown. Interesting story there. There's also a lockdown going on in Manila as well, which is another big city. We're going to talk about all these things from a political and geopolitical perspective and a policy perspective. We're going to stay away from science. Everyone who's viewing this understands why, because if we talk about these things, we're just going to get smashed
Absolutely.
by YouTube. So we're not
By
going to delve into
our friends and watchers at
we're not going to delve into any of this stuff. We're going to try to keep things on a geopolitical, policy,
YouTube.
political, government level and try to unpack what's going on. Maybe on a level of society and how people feel on a social level with lockdowns and with, I think I can say masks. I guess I can say masks with masks, or if I should say the thing you put on your face. Anyway, I don't know what the terms are with saying those words on a YouTube video, but Alexander, I laid out some big events that took place on Sunday, I believe. Was everything took place on Sunday, I believe. Especially the UK ones was also Sunday, the UK protests as well. What is going on here? My take, the one thing that I see is I see stuff like, and this may be kind of small, but this is what I see. I see stuff like Obama at the John Lewis funeral, and there's no social distancing. There's really no masks. No one pays any price. I see Fauci giving a testimony, and he's kind of smirking throughout the whole thing. He looks kind of glib and almost happy in a way. And I say, and meanwhile, you have all these new rules and regulations coming through in every country, and every country's different. Every country has a different policy, and my head just spins. I mean, it's just so hard to figure it out.
Well, so does mine. And can I just say, every country has different policies, and many countries have lots of different policies which contradict each other, which is what's happening in Britain, by the way. And interestingly enough, in Germany too. I mean, this is the other thing. I mean, there is no law. I think what's happened is that back in March, back in, February, February, March, there was this move towards, lockdowns. And people got very tired of lockdowns, and that's all sort of run its course. And there doesn't really seem to be any clear idea now what to do, or even perhaps more practically, what is the nature of the problem we are dealing with? Is it a health problem? Is it an economic problem? Is it what sort of a problem? So we have this constant sense of improvisation, people making one decision after another, and at the same time, superseding all of this. On top of it, we have all of these various different agendas being pursued. So if you remember, a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about how 150 doctors in the United States have been going around saying, the meeting together in large groups was completely wrong and was, terribly, terrible mistake, except in order to attend BLM protests. So we have the same people who are telling us, to remain at home, encouraging us to go out and attend BLM health protests because that supposedly was not a health problem. We have the WHO telling us, well, masks aren't really, they don't really help you very much. And now suddenly we're told, well, actually, masks are extremely necessary. So you get all of these completely discordant messages, and we have governments, British government, German government, Australian government, governments all over the world, governments, state governments in the United States, all of them doing these completely inconsistent and contradictory policies, none of them having a very clear idea, any very clear idea of what to do, whether they're dealing with a health crisis, whether they're dealing with an economic crisis. And you get the people in all of these countries becoming very exasperated and very impatient, and that's expressing itself now in protests. It's completely predictable. The response has been absolute sheer chaos.
Does it surprise you that the German people, so many thousands of German people got onto the streets? Does that surprise you?
Yes, it surprises me a lot because, of course, I mean, we mustn't perhaps be too sold on stereotypes, but there is some truth in them. Germany is a very law-abiding, very orderly place. Germans do tend to believe what their what the authorities tell them. And of course, what did they tell them? You know, they were told for weeks, months, Germany's done a superb job. We did all this testing. We did all this tracing. We got it all under control. There isn't a problem anymore. We've solved it. We've succeeded. And now, after they've been told all of this, and people start living their lives again, they suddenly have a complete turnaround. And, you know, they're told, actually, it's not gone away at all. The problem's coming back. Everything's, you know, everything that we were telling you before is not actually true. We need to have more restrictions imposed on you again. So, of course, the result is that people's patience is wearing thin, and their trust is wearing thin, because they're saying, you're telling us one thing one day, you're saying something completely different to us another day, but the overall effect is we can't live our lives.
What about the protests in the UK and in London? Does that surprise you?
No, it doesn't surprise me at all. In fact, it's exactly the same, only worse, because of course in Britain we don't have the same degree of trust in our governments and in our authorities that you have in Germany to start with. But we've had even more contradictory messages from our government than the Germans have. And there's a perception in Britain that the whole crisis hasn't been handled terribly well anyway. But what you see is, again, contradictory decisions told, you know, a few weeks ago that, you know, we don't really need to be locked down to the same extent anymore. And now the government is imposing these sort of sporadic lockdowns in places like Leicester and in the north of England. And again, it isn't very clear what the intention is or what the logic behind it is. At the same time that the government was looking for ways to reopen nightclubs in London, except that they backed off from that. And the education policy is a complete mess. So school students are not able to take their final exams. They don't know what their university admission is going to be like. Universities are in complete crisis across Britain. They don't know how to teach their students because they're getting contradictory guidance from the authorities. Young people are becoming terribly stressed about this. They don't know what to do. The result is, in London, we're having an epidemic of illegal raves. You know, these are outdoor parties with music, with young people getting very exasperated. Some of them are now joining up on BLM protests, because that's, in my opinion, another expression of this frustration. And on top of everything else, there is growing disaffection, growing anger. And I can very easily believe, if we're getting moving back towards lockdowns, there's going to be an explosion in Britain. I can see it. I can see it definitely coming and on the way.
Yeah, and then people see the lockdown in Melbourne, which is a big city, very big city. And the interesting part about the Melbourne lockdown, from what I saw, was how quickly they implemented it. I mean, this thing was done like almost overnight, and boom, they had the curfews, they had the lockdown. That was it. A city of 5 million people, lockdown. Now, the interesting part is when they want to deploy the security part of policy and they want to lock down a city, a strict lockdown, I mean, they do that very efficiently and very quickly. But when it comes to rolling out a policy as to how you manage this crisis and the ways to manage the crisis, whether it's schooling or whether it's dealing with the elderly or how to deal with restaurants opening or nightclubs, and getting a coherent message across and how you want society to open, it seems that governments are completely freaking lost.
Yes, because they have been completely hollowed out by globalization. Governments have stopped governing for a very, very long time. So they don't know how to do these things. As you absolutely correctly say, they are very good at adopting police controls. They're not very good at the actual business of governing anymore. And this has been true in so many different places. We see this in Britain. I forgot to say another thing. I mean, you're talking about Britain. We now have this edict that's suddenly come from on high that wearing masks is now compulsory if you go into shops. It wasn't during the lockdown, but it's suddenly become compulsory now. I mean, you know, it's all over the place. Australia was, you know, bragging a short time ago at how successful it'd been in keeping this pandemic away. Now, you know, 180 degree U-turn, impose a lockdown because you don't really know what else to do. And governments have lost their way because they no longer are as strong as they used to be. I read a very interesting article a short time ago by Patrick Coburn, who was in The Independent, who was talking about how when there was a polio epidemic in rural Ireland in the 1950s, the government there knew what to do. And there were, you know, responses, which, by the way, did not involve across-the-board lockdowns. Poor rural Ireland. Ireland in the 1950s was a very poor place. They had a strong government. It knew how to respond. Governments today are just all over the place. They can't decide. They have no real policies. They don't know what to do.
And finally, to wrap it up, do you think that the governments, let's say the UK and Germany in this case, where the protests are happening, and they're directly related to lockdowns and masks. I mean, the UK one, I think, was pretty much they were saying, we're not going to follow this mask policy. Do you think that the governments took it too far with the masks, or was it just bad messaging? I mean, and I'll say why. I understood the hand washing message, for example, and having, you know, dispensers and shops and at restaurants and them telling you, wash your hands often, don't touch your face, and commercials about it. That part I understood. And I think, at least where I was living, and I think, you know, that message was clear, crystal clear. Wash your hands often. When you enter a shop, wash your hands. Don't touch your face. And when someone else would tell you, don't touch your face, I didn't mind it because, you know, it was like someone saying, I'm doing this for your own good. Hey, man, you know, don't touch your face. You know, that's how germs are spread. And you're like, yeah, you know, you're right. The mask thing kind of turned everything on its head because you got many mixed messages. Masks are good. Masks are not good. Don't do this. You know, don't wear this type of mask, but wear that type of mask. You know, only health professionals know how to put on masks. You need to be trained. No, you don't. All these mixed messages were getting sent. And then the other component of it was the snitching component, where with the hand washing part, when someone told you, you know, wash your hands and don't touch your face, it was like they're looking after your own good. The mask stuff is kind of like, well, you're not wearing a mask. I'm telling on you. You know what I mean? I don't know. It seems like they were taking it they took it one step too far, and the messaging was just done not for your own good, but for not to help you, but in order to get people to snitch on you.
Well, indeed. Well, what is happening? Stigmatize. What is happening? And it goes back exactly to what you said with the Melbourne lockdown now, is that when governments feel they're losing control, because all the governments have completely lost control of this thing, at least certainly in Europe and in many other places, and some state governments in the United States also, they don't have the levers to govern anymore. So what do? They impose, they look for authoritarian responses, because that's easy. That's the kind of way that they can reassert themselves. So you don't have masks. You don't make obligatory masks in the middle of the lockdown when thousands of people are becoming infected every day. But there's a sort of small little spike. You're afraid to impose a lockdown, so you make masks mandatory. You do the same with lockdowns in Australia. A few cases here and there. You don't quite know what to do. Your testing is all over the place. You haven't organized yourself. You've thought that you have this thing under control, but of course you didn't, because you didn't really organize or plan for it. So what do? You impose a lockdown overnight. You've just been floating around on a sea without really having a pilot and a guide and a clear idea any longer of what you're doing. And what you do is, in order to appear in control, you impose the most authoritarian solution that you can. Either it's a lockdown, as in Melbourne, or it's a face mask imposition, as in the UK, or something in between. But this is what's happening. And of course, what it's doing is that it is creating more and more frustration and anger amongst more and more people. They're becoming more and more frustrated, more and more exasperated by the way the situation is being run. And of course, as I said, we're getting into a situation where I fully expect in Britain there could be a big blowout come the autumn if people sense that this thing has no end, and that they're going to be imposed, these policies are going to be imposed on them. I can see very, very substantial protests. There are already warnings to the government about this. I mean, there have already been. I was reading in the media in London that the government has been warned that, you know, it is now risking riots. I mean, that's not, you know, something that's actually been reported in the media, the mainstream media.
Yeah. Governments need to learn how to govern.
Well, they need to learn how to govern. They once knew how to do it. I mean, I can remember the old days before we had, you know, globalization and everything, you know, could be decided by, you know, the amorphous, mysterious center, you know, the nice people who meet in Davos. Once upon a time, governments did their job, as you rightly said. They knew how to govern. They knew how to deal with pandemics. They've lost all that skill set now.
Yeah. Now the people in charge are just a bunch of shills.
Exactly. That's exactly what they are. They, you know, and you know, confronted with something like this, they don't know what to do.
They don't know what to do. They don't know how to manage.
Yeah.
They're not professionals.
They're not professionals. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
All right. We'll leave it there, guys. Just go to the Drad Shop, pick up some merch.
Absolutely. This is the UK. Where I hope we don't have riots, by the way, but I would not be at all surprised if we did. Here is Greece. You can see we've got these amazing mugs, and we're getting lots of new mugs with all kinds of flags, which you can find in our shop. I gather Alex did one with the Armenian flag, which has been very well received by people.
We should do a video on...
Absolutely.
Actually, I think some of our users have recommended that we talk about the tensions and...
In the Caucasus between Armenia and Azerbaijan, and we certainly should do that. But, you know, it's been well received, and if the mug with the Armenian flag, if anybody else wants to suggest something, you know, like this, we are absolutely open to suggestions at all times. And you can see that both Alex and I are wearing examples of our great new shirts. He has the flag of Canada. I have the flag of Britain. But again, you will find amazing shirts with lots of flags, and we're Alex is expanding the catalogue of those all the time. We've got other things too. Don't forget our ebooks, which have also been, the catalogue of those has been expanding, and we've got amazing hoodies and hats and other things. But the important thing to say is they're all great products, and by buying them, you support this channel. Small channel, we feel a great job. We cover lots of the news all over the world, and we provide you with amazing analysis, but it's not easy to do what we do. And by coming to the shop, you help us.
Yep. And you can also go to PayPal, Subscribestar, and Patreon as well. And you can help us with a donation. Any amount helps. As Alexander said, we are a small channel, and we need your help to keep on broadcasting and to keep on reporting some real news. Alexander, we'll leave it there. Take care, everybody.